reading to you from the 8th chapter of the book of John, and with the 10th verse, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? And she said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said to her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Good evening, my little friends. Again, this is Evangelist Cecil Moe. And you know I'm a converted alcoholic, gave my heart to Christ over 51 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. 1 year later, God called me to preach, and I've been sharing Jesus ever since. Well, friends, my wife and I had such a wonderful, wonderful time at the prison Sunday with the women. 12 or 13, I don't remember exactly how many, gave their heart to Christ. There were tears of repentance. My wife read a story about a young girl that was killed, and I'm telling you, it'll touch your heart. Well, anyway, she read that, and those girls wept. And then I got up and I told them how much God loved them. Oh, friends, listen, if we don't take that message out, we're in trouble. God is a God of love. God loves sinners, and he died for us. Well, listen, I'll be with you for 29 minutes tonight. Won't you kick off your slippers, sit back and relax, and pour you a glass of iced tea or a cup of coffee. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? I'd like to read to you from Joshua, the 7th chapter, and with the 10th verse. And the Lord said unto Joshua, Get thee up, wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel hath sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen, and disassembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they are accursed. Neither will I be with you any more, except you destroy the accursed from among you. Well, friends, listen. Joshua, his call and his commission from the Lord. Joshua was born a slave, but he later had became the leader of Israel. Moses chose him to scout the land of Canaan. Joshua appointed to lead Israel into Canaan. Joshua was commissioned by the Lord to lead the people from victory to victory, crossing the flooded Jordan, conquering Jericho, but there was the agony of defeat. A few thousand sent to conquer Ai, and they are defeated, and I mean defeated. Joshua is on his face, defeated in despair. The Lord's call, get thee up. But how? Oh, friends, let's stop right there just for a moment. Have you ever been in that position in your life? Maybe I'm talking mostly to Christians right now that have had that problem. You know, we think we have got the message from God. He sends us out. Oh, so many times God has sent me and my family clear across the United States. We started out with $30 in our pocket, and all I had was my roofing axe and my roofing equipment. But I, like Paul, if I needed money, I'd stop. I'd get a job, and I'd put on a roof, and we'd go on a little further. Paul was not a beggar. Paul stopped and made tents when he was running low on funds. A lot of the churches sent money to Paul as he ministered throughout the country. But there was times when he was flat broke. Instead of getting up on the street corner and begging and acting a monkey, he'd make a tent. He'd sell it. He'd take the funds, and he'd go about God's business. Oh, friends, listen. We sometimes, in fact, the matter is, at all times, we should be willing to walk by faith. I recall one time, dear friends, many, many years ago, back in the early 70s, I was a foreman for a roofing company here in Denver. And all I had was alcoholics and pot smokers. And you say, well, you'd think you'd be glad to be around them. Yes, I was, but not around hot tar. Dear friends, that hot tar is 350 to 400 degrees. You don't want a drunk guy handling a bucket of hot around you. I came home one night so disgusted, so discouraged, and I told my wife, I said, I just don't know what to do. She said, Cease, why don't you start in business for yourself? I said, Jean, how am I going to do that? I don't have $100. She said, well, I'll tell you what. The Lord gave me the thought. Now it's up to you and him to work it out. And I got to thinking about that. Maybe I should go back in business for myself. I was a businessman before I was saved. Well, I didn't have any money. So I went down to a loan shark, and I borrowed $1,300. And I went out and I bought me a pickup truck. Now, for $1,300 back in those days, they weren't much better than nothing. In fact, I would say offhand, this was a Salvation Army reject. But nonetheless, I took it, and I went out, and I got some business cards made up, and I started going to business after business, telling them that I was the best roofer in the whole United States. And they laughed at me. But one big company didn't laugh at me. They said, well, boy, you are confident that you are the best roofer. I said, yes, I am. And they said, well, I'll tell you, Mr. Moe, we have a problem over here on one of our big commercial roofs. We have had the best roofing contractors in Denver. They could not stop that leak. Maybe you can. I said, let me go look at it. I crawled up on the roof, and when I saw what the problem was, I almost laughed out loud. My little 7-year-old grandson could have figured out how to fix the roof. I went back and I said, yes, I can fix that roof. You can? How much money are you going to charge us? Well, I said, I'd have to have about $1,200. Get on it. Get on it immediately. I went over and I did that roof. And they said, we'll pay you when the first rain comes. I said, that's fair enough. That's a test. It poured. And it poured. And it poured. But the roof never leaked. Did you know, beloved, that company gave me $3 million worth of roofs in the next 3 or 4 years? Yes, I was discouraged, but my wife and the Lord had a little talk, and she suggested that I start back in business, and I did, and we went for years. Then I retired in 1982, gave my son some equipment. One of my sons is down in Florida. He's got his own business down there. Another one of my sons took my foam business over, and he's doing foam. The other two are insurance adjusters. But friends, no matter how low you get, you just have to wait upon the Lord. Now, there's nowhere in the Bible can you show me where that God said after we're saved that everything was going to be hunky-dory. No way. Didn't say that. He said we'd have trials and tribulations. You can depend upon it. You're going to have them. Well, Joshua must stop questioning God's character. He said, alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou? Something went wrong, and he blames God. Consider the good things God had done. Remember when Moses was out there herding sheep and he saw this burning bush and he went over there and the Lord said, take off your shoes, man. I got a job for you. And he called him to go down into Egypt to lead the children of Israel to the promised land. Why, Moses was flabbergasted. What, me, Lord, a sheep herder? I'd killed a couple guys down there. Now you're asking me to go back down there and probably get killed. Anyway, he said, I can't talk. Lord said, all right, I'll give you your brother. Oh, but listen, dear friends, when Moses truly surrendered his heart and life, it was a wonderful experience. They went through a living hell with all those things that happened to him, the frogs and this and that and the flies. Well, now, when they took off, they come to the Red Sea, and there they were. Boy, those people were screaming on old Moses' shirt. Boy, you should let us die back there in Egypt. Moses said, just shh, quiet. He stepped off in the water and he stuck his staff out there. And the water parted. Oh, beloved, listen to me. Those people couldn't believe what they saw. God had come to their rescue again. And then here come their enemies. Right after them, boy, they were going to kill them. Didn't happen. God just closed the sea on them and they all drowned. What did he do when they were hungry? He fed them with manna. He took care of that. He gave them water from a rock, led them across the flooded Jordan, enabled them to conquer mighty Jericho. Now, after one defeat, Joshua blames God. Think of all God has done for us, loved us, gave his son for us, offers his salvation by faith, receives us when we come to him. How can we blame God for our defeats? Joshua must stop focusing on this one defeat. Think of all the blessings already given. Think of all the blessings promised from the future. Promises given to Abraham for his descendants. Promises given to Moses for the people. And the promises given to Joshua. Joshua had become problem conscious instead of power conscious. In spite of blessings and promises, he focused on one defeat. He must forget this defeat and expect victory. What happened to you this past week? Did you get your nose in a joint? Did something happen and you think, oh, man. Hey, listen to me, dear friends. I want to tell you something. Think about this for a while. Many times, remember when Abraham took his boy up in the hill? And he thought he was going to have to kill him, but he raised his sword. So that's enough. That's enough. He just wanted to know if Abraham was willing. Maybe that's all he's asking of you today. Are you willing to do these things? And if you are, well, God will use you some more. Oh, listen. Joshua must stop worrying about public opinion, for the Canaanites shall hear of it. God will take care of his own reputation. God will lift up his people when they are down. And God has brought victory to many defeated ones. But, dear friends, Joshua did rise up. Joshua led his people to victory. Oh, friends, we also can rise up from defeat and win. We have a resurrected Savior, a victorious Savior. His victory is ours, so we must rise and serve. Well, beloved, you know, I remember when I was out in Parker many years ago, I suffered my first heart attack. That was the hardest year of my life. Friends, I just sat in my chair. They had me so full of heart pills. I hurt. I ached. Oh, I did. And I just sat there and stared. Didn't know what to do. My wife was a realtor. She got really concerned. So what'd she do? She went down and bought me a little Keyshawn puppy. Oh, friends, I'll never forget that little sweet dog. Oh, that dog and I become inseparable. We bonded. That dog helped me through one of the darkest hours of my life. And then I had another heart attack. I again sat in a chair, and I wondered, and I wondered. The other day I was thinking, you know, what else can I do for the Lord? Because, you know, he can get along without me. Sure he can, but I still want to be used of the Lord. Oh, so I wrote a little thing and I put it in the little thrifty nickel. Says, do you have a drinking problem? Not alcoholism, not AA, no meetings to attend, call Cecil. I've had two calls so far, and I got to share with them Jesus. Oh, friends, listen. You know, if we'd get off the pity pot and get with Jesus. Listen, he has a purpose for your life. Oh, he sure does. He has a purpose. You're very important. Now, you may be a congressman, you may be a senator. That's fine. But I'd rather be a soul winner. I'd rather be sitting, standing in front of those ladies. I sit in my little electric scooter, and I sit there and I tell those girls how much God loves them and that he wants to give them a new life, give them a second chance. Sure, they're defeated. Sure, their families have turned against them. Maybe their daughters or sons or their husbands or mom or dad's turned against them. And they say, I'm nothing. I'm a zilch. I'm a zero. But God still loves them. God wants to save them. And that's the message I take, my wife and I, to prison, that God loves them. And that they want to spend eternity. That's right. It's their decision. You know, God doesn't send anybody to hell. People send themselves by rejecting the only Son of God. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Let me ask you a question. Do you feel kind of a tugging at your old heart tonight? You feel, oh, Cecil, I'm so defeated. And no, I'm not born again, and I know I should be. And maybe tonight that's what I need to do. And if you're a Christian and you're defeated, take up your bed and walk. Take Jesus by the hand and tell him. Tell him you're discouraged. Tell him of your heartaches. He wants to hear from you personally, not from me. He wants to hear it from you. When I have problems, I go to the Lord with it. I'm not afraid to share with him when I'm down the dumps and brokenhearted. No, I'm not. Anyway, tonight, dear friends, if God's Holy Spirit is tugging at your heart, and you feel that you'd like to put your trust in Jesus, let me lead you in the most powerful prayer ever prayed by man or woman or child. Do not, I repeat, do not pray this prayer if you don't mean it. You could get in a lot of trouble with God. But if you're serious, I want you to pray this powerful, powerful prayer. And it goes like this. Dear Lord, oh, I confess, Lord, that I'm lost in my sin, and I don't know up from down, and I'm so sorry for the mess I've made in my life. Father, the best way I know how right now, I open my heart, and I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're a Christian, and you've kind of got astray, or you went out and did a little sin, and you know it's wrong, come back to the Lord and tell him, Lord, I did this and I'm so sorry. Turn your back on it and he'll forgive all your sins. Then I want you to get on the phone and call 303-471-8534. I'm concerned not where you go to church. I'm concerned where you spend eternity. I'll be standing by my phone waiting for your call. 303-471-8534.
Thank you.
Well, friends, thank you for tuning in tonight. Oh, I pray that the Lord led me to say something that would encourage your heart. Listen, I know if you read the newspaper, and I know if you watch television, you get awfully discouraged to high gas prices and all these things, but God is still in control, and He wants to control your life because He wants you to be a happy and a Christian that can walk with her head high. Well, friends, do pray for my wife and I. Pray for my health. Yeah, because, you know, I'm getting a bit, my sugar diabetes sometimes gets on my case. But, friends, until this time next Sunday night, oh, I want you to be good to your neighbors. Stay sweet. Keep looking up for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.